Hello and welcome to the Fastest Lab podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. Today, we review the seasons of Mercedes, Williams, Sauber and Haas. My name is Jan, and as ever, I'm with Virgo. Hello everyone to episode 68 of the Fastest Lab podcast, and welcome to our end of the season team review for Mercedes, Williams, Sauber and Haas, as I said. So yeah, let's get right into it. We adapted the strategy from last year, so each episode will have one of the top teams, one or in this case two midfield teams, and one of the lower backmarker teams. So how should we do? Should we start with the top team in the episodes, or should we start at the bottom? What do you think, Virgil?
Yeah, I mean, I think we should just get stuck into Mercedes. I mean, yeah, what a season once again from them, taking both titles for the fourth time in a row.
Incredible thinking about it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that Red Bull, of course, did before them, but you got to say that Mercedes have been much more dominant in this era than in Red Bull's era.
And especially with change of regulations as well.
Yeah, and you know, although Mercedes weren't exactly the, well, they weren't as dominant as they have been in 14, 15 and 16, you know, I think ultimately they were the best team this year. They were challenged on a number of occasions, but overall I think they really had the best package. Of course, there were a couple of tracks where it didn't quite work out for them, but yeah, once again this year they were really spectacular.
And those tracks, I mean, there was a lot of talk about that long wheelbase car. Do you think that was really the dominating factor? I mean, those tracks where Mercedes struggled a bit were, what were they? I think Hungary, Monaco, all tracks with lower speed corners. I'm not quite so sure whether we can blame all of that on the long wheelbase car. I think maybe Ferrari was better on traction, especially out of that slow speed corners. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, we heard that Ferrari was a bit better traction zones than Mercedes. Yeah, there was a lot of talk of the long wheelbase of the car, and you know, there's no denying that Mercedes were the second best team in both Monaco and Hungary, and yeah, I mean, you could argue that it was a factor, but you know, there's always a lot of elements that contribute to a team underperforming or performing very, very well. And yeah, I think next season Mercedes are targeting a shorter wheelbase, which, you know, maybe they want to be a bit careful of, because if they end up doing a major design overhaul and it doesn't work out, then they could be on the back foot. So we'll wait and see, but yeah, there definitely was a number of occasions this year where they just didn't get it right, and that's not really something we've seen too often before. I mean, we've seen in Singapore of 2015 where Mercedes kind of just, they were nowhere really, and they were the third best team behind Ferrari and Red Bull, and that was amidst their domination era. And but I think this year there was plenty of teams that were able to plenty of times that a couple of teams were able to challenge them. But yeah, I reckon that the long wheelbase definitely had something to do with it, as well as the strength of other cars.
And what's your take on the driver situation? I mean, again, Lewis Hamilton took the World Drivers' Championship title with a really, really good season. We even awarded him the Driver of the Season award in last episode. So yeah, I don't think there's much to discuss with Lewis Hamilton there, top driver in a top team. But what's your take on Valtteri Bottas? I mean, he had a pretty strong start. Well, we couldn't really, or we didn't really realize him as a top contender, as he had that early DNF in Spain, and from that onwards, he was just always behind, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, and you know, some people sort of expected him to jump into the car and be a title contender. I wasn't really very sure, but I think overall it was a pretty disappointing season from Bottas, and I don't think that's being overcritical, because Bottas himself said it, that he was disappointed with his year. You know, of course, there was a number of celebrations for him with a couple of pole positions and three victories. But you know, when your teammate is able to outperform him like the way he did, I mean, there was some,
especially after the summer break.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that. I mean, there was four or five races in a row where he was being qualified by over half a second, which was huge. And I think Bottas, I think he'll be under a bit of pressure next year, especially with the likes of Esteban Ocon, you know, who is a Mercedes junior, performing very, very well. But you know, it was an okay season from Bottas. It definitely could have been better, but. I think he has 2018 to prove his worth, and I do think he is a pretty good driver, so we'll wait and see on that front.
So maybe we can introduce something new for this year in our season review episodes. What kind of grades are you using for your schools or university in Ireland? Is it the ABCD scale, or what are you using?
In school we use the ABCs, yeah, and then in college we have a thing called pass, merits, and distinctions.
Well, let's stay with the ABC stuff. So what grade would you give to Mercedes for the 2017 season?
I mean, you can only really give them an A, can't you, when they've wrapped up both the drivers and constructors title. You know, compared to recent years, they've been a bit more challenged, but nevertheless, they still prove that they are the best overall package in F1 right now.
I agree, especially, I mean, not only the car as a package, but also the whole team. You know, pit stops, they were really good. I think they even won the award for consistently fast pit stops this season. So I agree with an A for Mercedes. So yeah, that's that team done. So let's move on to Williams then, one of the midfield teams. And I have to say, it was a bit disappointing. Was it? I guess it was disappointing seeing how far they were behind Force India in the midfield, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think you give credit to Force India there too, but I'm sure we'll talk about that when we get to them.
In the next episode.
yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, Williams definitely did slip away compared to where they were last year with Force India. I mean, they were battling them for fourth place right up to the finale in Abu Dhabi, and this year they finished, I think, 104 points behind Force India.
Wow.
Which is crazy. And, you know, there are possibly a number of different factors because of that. But, yeah, I have to agree that it was, well, definitely, I think it was a bit of a disappointing season from Williams.
So, yeah, let's move then directly to, I would think, our biggest discussion point, let's put it that way, the drivers. I think, well, how do I start this? In my opinion, I cannot really rate the performance of Massa, because his benchmark, well, we are at that discussion again. I mean, you do rate Lance Stroll a bit higher than I do, I guess, and I'm not quite sure whether Lance was really a benchmark for Felipe, as he was, I think he had the biggest gap to his teammate in qualifying. I think even Palmer was closer to Hülkenberg, so in my point of view, Massa showed some good performances, but we can't really tell whether it was good or whether his teammate was just so bad all the time. And yeah, what's your opinion?
I don't think Matt did that bad of a job, to be honest. Of course, going into the season, I don't think anybody expected Stroll to be, to match Massa, especially with Massa having so much experience. You're right. I do rate Stroll a bit higher than you, but if Stroll next season is still performing like he did this year, then I think my evaluation of him will drop slightly. I think he had an okay season, but I think his inconsistency was a bit, too much. But he did show some good speed at certain tracks, such as Baku or Monza or Singapore. He was okay, and Canada he had a good race. So I don't think he's a bad driver. I still do believe he came into F1 a bit too early. But there's nothing really anybody can do about that. We have Massa, who, well, he's retired now, of course, and I'm a bit sad to see him go, because I think he's a pretty good driver, and it was kind of clear that he didn't really want to leave Formula One. He was kind of forced out, which is a big shame for someone.
You mean
like
Massa. This season?
Yeah.
You think so? I already retired last season, and now I just filled the gap for Bottas, but I think he was quite, or he felt okay with leaving now.
I think, I've read a lot of places where he would have actually preferred to stay on. I mean, why wouldn't he have he preferred to stay on? But I think his time in Formula One was coming to an end anyway, and it's not like he had a underwhelming career. I mean, I think people will remember Massa for a long, long time. I mean, of course, in recent years, his speed wasn't as good as it has been, in the days of 2006, 7, 8, those Ferrari years. But overall, I think Massa had a pretty consistent season in a Williams that definitely hasn't been as strong as it was in 2014 and 16.
All right, so what grade would you give Williams for their season then?
It's
difficult.
It is. I'd probably linger somewhere between a C and a D, because, although they were quite a bit behind Force India, I think Force India themselves just did a great job to leap ahead. And then their driver, Williams' drivers, I mean, it was ups and downs along the way. It definitely wasn't a stellar season from them, but it was okay. I'll be nice and give them a C.
Okay, I'd go for a D, really. Yeah, because as you said, driver pairing wasn't the strongest. On track performance was sometimes not very good. As I think. They even had some big problems early on. I can't remember the race, but sometimes they were really off pace and nobody knew why. So, yeah, I'd give them a D, especially considering that their budget isn't... I think it's one of the higher budgets of the midfield teams, Williams. I think ahead of Haas, Force India, Toro Rosso, and so on. I'm not even sure about Toro Rosso, but I'd give them a D. Well, then we've got two more teams this episode, so a bit of a longer one. So let's move on and take Haas. So Haas, their second season in Formula One, and a lot of people predicted that the second season will be the hardest for them, especially considering that we had a huge change in regulations. But still, I think they not only surprised me with quite an okay-ish performance, let's put it that way. Nothing outstanding, but I think better than many people expected them to perform.
Yeah, I mean, I think this year they acquired a stronger driver lineup, which was a big factor. Yeah, I mean, they were pretty good. There was the issues with the brakes, and that was sort of an ongoing problem. But yeah, they were pretty good. I mean, considering that this is only the second year for Haas, it was in no way an unsuccessful year for them. And yeah, it sort of begs the question, where will they be next year? I mean, I know that what they finished 8th in the constructors' standings, but they acquired a lot more points than they did in 2016. So yeah, I mean, I think overall they had a pretty solid year.
Yeah, and as you said, much stronger, well, not much stronger, but a stronger driver pairing compared to last year, with Kevin Magnussen being in the team. So yeah, not how actually was how did those two, Grosjean and Magnussen, compare in terms of points in the World Championship? Do you know it out of your head?
Out of my head, no. Grosjean finished higher, I think, than Magnussen. But you know, I think if you want to look at the, you know, the lineup compared to last year to this year, I think, you know, Grosjean is kind of seen as a solid fit for for Haas. And you know, last year, I mean, there was Gutierrez there who I don't really think impressed too many. But yeah, I mean, Magnussen, it was his third team in his third year in F1, and I think he needed a bit of consistency, you know, at a team. And of course, he will be there next year, so hopefully he can build. Well, I'm sure he already has built a solid, team spirit within the squad. So I think next year it should just be upwards once again for the Haas team.
Yeah, so it will be interesting. And for Haas, I'd give them as a grade, I'd give them a C for 2017, because I rate their season higher compared to Williams, but not as good that I would say they deserve a B or an A. So kind of average in the midfield, you know. So do you agree?
I'd go for a B, just because I gave Williams a C, and I don't want to rate them the same as Williams. So it would be a lower scale B, a B minus or whatever.
All right. So then let's move on to the last team we review in this episode, which is the Sauber F1 team. And boy, oh boy, I mean, it was quite clear already from the beginning of the season. I think I watched the TED notebook, whatever he did, of testing in Barcelona. I can still remember that sentence where he said, like, I don't know what it was, but when he said, "But everyone expects Sauber to be last," or like something like that. And basically, it's exactly what happened throughout the season. I mean, Sauber was really the clear backmarker of the field. Not many times they needed some chaotic races, like in Baku, which meant that they scored some points. But overall, with that year-old Ferrari engine, kind of poor aerodynamics with financial troubles from last season. So yeah, all in all, I don't think it was a good year for Sauber.
No, I mean, I think ever since, you know, I may be quite controversial in saying this, but I think ever since a certain somebody took over the team and became team principal, it sort of went downhill back
you,
in.
You mean that team principal that signed three drivers?
Exactly. you know, I think where Sauber were in 2012 was, you know, it was good. They were scoring podiums on some occasions and stuff. And then 2013 was okay for them. I mean, they got some good results. But then in the turbo hybrid era, they just sloped downwards. And yeah, the past few years have not been good for them. And I think 2017 was just really, really bad. Of course, they did get a couple of points at the hands of Pascal Wehrlein in Spain, who drove really well and managed to keep a number of cars behind them to finish, I think, was it 8? And then, yeah, we had in Azerbaijan as well, where he got a point. But when the car just can't develop, you know, that engine had no upgrades on it, and aerodynamics weren't very good. It was just a very bad mix. And yeah, I mean, there was some occasions in qualifying where they were so far behind. I mean, not even behind the fastest guys. I mean, they were so far behind nearest competitors. And I can only hope that next year, with the you know, with Leclerc and Ericsson at the team, with an upgraded power unit, with Alfa Romeo title sponsorship deal, I can only hope that they move, you know, further up the grid. But I fail to see how they will make any big drastic jumps. But I definitely do expect them to be at least somewhat stronger than they were this year.
Speaking of drivers, you already touched on it. A really good season by Pascal Wehrlein. I think he proved that he deserves to be in Formula One, and he actually deserved to be in Formula One for 2018. Well, sadly, we know that will not happen. Yeah, in terms of Ericsson, I'm not so sure. He had some kind of clumsy incidents, like that crash in Suzuka, and yeah, all in all, what's your opinion on the drivers, and what's your total grade for Sauber for 2017?
Well, I think Sauber themselves kind of wind up where they didn't really want to be, just because of the unit that they had. And, you can't really expect them to. You couldn't have expected them to perform when they had such a handicapped car. So I think overall I'd probably give them a E for the season.
I agree.
Yeah, I think that's a fair grade to give them. But, you know, hopefully, like I said, this time next year, hopefully we can be giving them a higher grade.
Yeah, let's hope this is kind of a transition year from the old team bus to a new structure, a new everything, and so that they are able to fight against with the other midfield teams. So that's the first episode done, and next week we'll be reviewing the seasons of Ferrari, Force India and Toro Rosso. So stay tuned for that, and of course, let's hope you'll be with us next week. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.